بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا وغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear respected brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everything in this world, it has some sort of purpose, it has some sort of reason for its existence. And it has some task, some function that it fulfills. And anything which does not have a purpose, or it has a purpose but its purpose is not fulfilled, we discard that thing. We push it away. A very simple example is that of a bag. A bag is meant to hold things. A bag, the purpose of a bag is to hold things, to store things. But if the bag had a hole in it at the bottom, we would discard the bag. Right? We don't use that bag anymore. We throw it away. Because it doesn't serve its purpose. It does not serve the purpose of holding items, storing items. So we throw it away. Likewise, every single thing in this world, it has a purpose, it has a function, it has a task which it is meant to fulfill and to carry out. And there's no difference when it comes to our existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most wise. He is the Al-Hakim, the most wise. And every single one of His actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are full of wisdom. None of His actions are void of any wisdom. There's a saying in Arabic, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُوا عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ, that the action of a wise person, the actions of a wise person, they're not void of hikmah. They always have hikmah. They always have wisdom behind it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise. So when He created us and He gave us existence, He attached a purpose to us. And the purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran in the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the human, I did not create the jinn, except so that they worship me. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the purpose attached to our existence is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we exist, the goal of why we exist, is that so that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And purpose is what gives a thing value. It is what gives a thing meaning. Right? We have our life, and our life only has meaning because we have a purpose. Right? Our life has meaning only because we have a purpose, which I just mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. On top of meaning, if you want value, is when we carry out that purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us meaning into our life. He gave us meaning to our lives. And to gain value and make our life valuable, we have to carry out the purpose which is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in the constant obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say constant and consistent obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not saying that somebody should be in salah 24/7. Or somebody should always be doing dhikr, should always be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we are saying somebody should live his life according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to do something, he does that thing. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something, he refrains from carrying out that action. If a person is able to do this, he has fulfilled the purpose of his life. He has fulfilled the purpose of his life, which is ibadah, and worship, and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today I wanted to focus on a very specific purpose, which is very relevant to our time, to the moment that we are in right now. And that is the month of Ramadan. That is when we fast, when we stand in Tarawih in the month of Ramadan. What is the purpose behind this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O people who believe, Psalm fasting has been made ordained upon you, it has been made mandatory upon you, so that just like how it was made mandatory upon the people before you. And what's the purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you achieve and you attain the quality of taqwa. So the whole purpose of fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He says fasting, but this is an indication to the entire month of Ramadan. Because the main act of worship in the month of Ramadan, when we think about the month of Ramadan, we think about fasting. Right? Fasting has been made fard in the month of Ramadan. So although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has used the word fasting here, it is an indication to the entire month of Ramadan, that the point and the purpose of the month of Ramadan is that you attain the quality of taqwa. You become muttaqeen. You become God conscious. You're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have this notion inside of you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically used the word taqwa. He did not say the reason of fasting is that so you become repenters. He did not say the reason you fast is that you pray a lot of salah. He did not say the reason you fast, the purpose of fasting is that you start giving a lot of sadaqah. No, He used a word which is very comprehensive in nature. It includes everything. A person who is a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa, he's already doing all of these things. He's already repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's already praying his salah. He's already giving sadaqah. He's already refraining from every sort of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of fasting, the purpose of the month of Ramadan, is that you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of the month of Ramadan. And how does this relate? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did we get from fasting to taqwa? Right? How are we supposed to attain the quality of taqwa? It's because when we fast, right, there are many, many, many times during the day while we are fasting, we're alone. We're fasting, but we're alone. There's nobody around us. And there's food, or there's some sort of drink. There's water, or there's juice, whatever there is. It's close to us. It's accessible to us. And although there's nobody else in the room, and there's food there, we even feel hungry, we even have the urge. We're thirsty, we have the urge to drink, we have the urge to eat. But despite that, we do not even go and touch the food. We do not even go and we don't pick up the water bottle and we start drinking water. The reason why we don't do that is because of the quality of taqwa. We know that nobody is around, but we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. We know that nobody is going to find out if you take a morsel or if you just take a sip of water. Nobody is going to find out. But you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know if you take that sip of water. This is how we get from Sawm to Taqwa. From fasting to attaining the quality of Taqwa. And the entire month of Ramadan is shaped in such a way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is a training ground for us to attain the quality of Taqwa. In many, many different ways. Right? In one huge aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made it easy for us to do a lot of worship. He has made it easy for us to do a large quantity of worship. Right? The entire month of Ramadan, 29, 30 days, we are fasting. Right? This is a training ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that in the month of Ramadan, you fasted for 30 days straight. After the month of Ramadan, when it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fast 3 days a month, right, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Or when it comes to the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of fasting the Monday and Thursday in a week. Why is that hard for you? You fasted 29, 30 days straight. Why is it hard for you to do one fast when it's not the month of Ramadan? Why is it hard for you? Why is it difficult for you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that you can get to this place. You can get to a point where you're the beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is confirming to us that He has given you the ability to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the month of Ramadan. So you're fasting 29, 30 days straight. Another huge act of worship which you do in a huge quantity is we pray Tarawih. We pray 20 rakat Tarawih or 8 rakat Tarawih. Right? For a person who prays 20 rakat Tarawih, 20 rakats of nafl, right? None of us believe that the Tarawih prayer is fard. It's not mandatory. It's sunnah muakkada. So if a person leaves it, he won't be sinful. But a person, he is doing the sunnah muakkada. He is praying these Tarawih, these 20 rakats of Tarawih, every single night for 29, 30 days. So Allah's training us. So why, when it's not the month of Ramadan, why is it hard for you to even pray too? Right? When it's not the month of Ramadan and we're praying the Isha Salah, right? We pray Isha, we pray four fard, we pray two sunnah, we pray three witr. But after that, why is it hard for you to even pray too? In the month of Ramadan, you prayed 20. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, He's showing us that you were able to do 20. So you're easily able to do two also. You're easily able to do 4, 6, 8 outside the month of Ramadan also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us in this month of Ramadan. Another way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us in this month of Ramadan is through the quality of our worship. Right? There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with two qualities, with iman and ihtisab. Right, غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whatever he has done from disobediences or sins, it has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very similar hadith just about standing in prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever stands in prayer in the night of Ramadan, and he stands with two qualities, iman and ihtisab. Iman and ihtisab, then غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whatever he has done from disobediences and from sins, it will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're being trained by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the quality of our worship also. That a person, whenever he does any sort of act of worship, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should always be done with two qualities. It should be done with iman and it should be done with ihtisab. It should be done with iman, the first quality, having full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having full faith in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Having full faith in the religion of Islam. There's no doubts in the in the heart of this person. That when he is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he totally believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the entire religion of Islam. There are no doubts in his heart. That is the first quality, iman. And the second quality is ihtisab. The second quality is ihtisab. And ihtisab, it is an indication and it comprises of three components. So although it is one word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comprises of three other concepts. The first concept which is included in the word of ihtisab, in the concept of ihtisab, is ikhlas. And ihtisab means you are hoping reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhlas, number one. You are sincere. When you fast, you're not fasting because other people told you. You're not fasting because it might look bad if you don't. You're not fasting for health benefits. The reason you are fasting is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are fasting. Ikhlas, sincerity. The second component of ihtisab is being humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And which is what? That you are accepting and you are admitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your act of worship has defects. That your act of worship, it has holes. Your act of worship is not worthy of being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're accepting this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the concept of ihtisab. You're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, please accept my fast, and I hope that you accept my fast. Although I know, and I admit, and I accept that my fast, it doesn't deserve to be accepted by you. Sure, I may have stayed away and refrained from food, eating, drinking, and intimacy. But did I refrain from all of the sins? Did I refrain from the other disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was I fighting with somebody? Was I insulting somebody? Was I accusing somebody? Was I slandering somebody? Or was I listening to music? Or was I doing any other sin, any other disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You've done these other sins while fasting, but despite that you hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're admitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I know my soul, my fast, it has defects, it has holes, but please accept it. And you're hoping a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same case with Tarawih. Right, you stand up for 20 rakats. How long are we fully engaged in thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How long are we fully attentive of what is being recited in the salah? What is being recited, the ayat and the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are many, many times, for long periods of times, we start our salah and we start thinking about something else. And then it's a chain of thoughts, and we start thinking about one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing. And by the time we know we're doing salam, and we haven't even thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's the condition of our act, of our worship. That's the condition of our salat. That's the condition of our soul. But despite that, you hope reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're admitting and you accept to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your act of worship has defects. That was the second component of the concept of ihtisab. First component, ikhlas, sincerity. Second component, you are being humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting the defects of your worship. Third component of the concept of ihtisab is what we call husnul dhanni billahi azza wa jal. Thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Ihtisab is you are hoping word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that your fast does not deserve to be accepted, but still you hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah will still accept my fast, insha'Allah ta'ala. You're thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husnul dhanni billahi azza wa jal. And there's a very famous hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and he's quoting directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a hadith Qudsi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِ عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي فَلِّظُنِّ بِي مَا شَاءَ. This is a narration of Sahih ibn Hibban. That I deal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I deal with my servant the way he thinks about me. Isn't that a huge thing? It isn't a mind-blowing thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a merciful Lord, right? The King of all kings. He is saying, I will deal with you, I will deal with my servant the way he thinks about me. Right? The way he forms his thoughts about me. If his thoughts are what? You know, I'm such a sinner. I've disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't even pray salah properly. I don't even pray tarawih properly. I'm thinking about other things. I don't even fast properly. I'm doing other disobediences. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my soul? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my tarawih, my qiyam? If these are his thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with him in that way. Oh, you don't have yaqeen, you don't have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that he will still accept your act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept your act of worship. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you the way you think about him. But if your thoughts are, no, I know that me, my soul, my qiyam, my tarawih, it does not deserve to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still I believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept my fast, will accept my tarawih, will accept my qiyam, then it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَ عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. I deal with my servant the way he thinks about me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And he goes on to say a very beautiful thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَظُنَّ بِي مَا شَاءَ. Go and think whatever you want about me. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's declaration, his announcement. Go and think whatever you want to think about me. Whatever you want to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever way you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you in that way. Even if you have sinned for years and years and years and years, but you still hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will accept your forgiveness when you do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your tawbah. He will accept your repentance. When you ask forgiveness from him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept your tawbah. He will definitely accept your repentance. So these are the three components of the concept of ihtisab. Number one, ikhlas. Number two, you are being humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting the defects of your worship. And number three, husnul dhanni billahi azza wa jal, you are thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person in the month of Ramadan, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person in the month of Ramadan, he fasts, or in the month of Ramadan, he does qiyam, he prays tarawih, and he does it with these two qualities, with iman and ihtisab, then in both cases, whatever he has from his sins and disobediences, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of them. So once again, we're being trained in the month of Ramadan. We're being trained in terms of the quantity of our worship, and we're being trained in terms of the quality of our worship also. That when you worship in the month of Ramadan, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much more. 30 days of continuous fasting, 20 rakats tarawih, and even you're doing all of these things with iman and ihtisab. So why when it comes to another month, not the month of Ramadan, are you not able to do this? Allah is saying definitely you can do this. Definitely you can attain the quality of taqwa. In Ramadan you stayed away from sins. Why won't you be able to stay away outside the month of Ramadan? Allah is telling you can. You will be able to. Just have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And I was saying in the beginning, if a thing does not fulfill its purpose, it becomes useless, it becomes worthless. So there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very terrifying hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَأ. There are so many people who fast. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are so many people who fast, but the only thing they gain from their fast is what? Thirst. Thirst and hunger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the purpose of fasting is taqwa. Is attaining the quality of taqwa, to become muttaqi. That was the purpose of fasting. But this person does not gain that. He does not gain the purpose. He does not attain the purpose of fasting. Instead, he just attains some useless thing, which is hunger and thirst. كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَأ. This person in his fast, he fasts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is not doing it properly. He is sinning, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not attaining the quality of taqwa, so the only thing he attains is what? Thirst and hunger. And another very scary hadith, it's a similar hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that a person who does not attain the quality of taqwa, who does not attain the purpose of fasting, for this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not care about where he eats, where he drinks. So Allah subhanahu's declaration. Allah subhanahu does not care about that person. The person who's doing an act of worship, but he does not even fulfill his purpose. Right? Just like that example we talked about. You have a bag, but it has holes. What's the point of it? So you're fasting, but you don't get the quality of taqwa. What's the point of it? You're not gaining anything. You're gaining only hunger and thirst. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on in the hadith, وَكَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّحْرُ. And there are people who stand up in prayer. There are people who pray tahajjud. There are people who pray tarawih. And they don't attain anything from their qiyam except staying awake. The only thing they attain from standing in prayer is not reward, is not hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not accomplishing and attaining the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of that. The only thing they are attaining from standing up in tarawih is what? Staying awake. Something useless. They're staying awake for no reason. That's the only thing which they are gaining from tarawih. Why? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this? He's saying this because when you do an act of worship, when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the main point of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you gain the purpose of that worship. And the purpose of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you become a muttaqi. You attain the quality of taqwa. If you are able to do this, then you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you don't attain the purpose of the act of worship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for your worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care about your act of worship. You only stayed hungry and thirsty. You only stayed awake. You didn't get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the point of all of this? It only brings value. A thing only becomes valuable when it fulfills its purpose. Our fast, our qiyam will only be valuable when we become muttaqeen. When we attain the quality of taqwa. If we're able to do this, we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plentiful. And if we're able to do this, then we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I mentioned earlier, then your sins will be forgiven. All of these sins that you have done up till that day, you'll be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He's supposed to be worshipped. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while attaining the purpose of worship, becoming muttaqi. And just one last hadith I wanted to share about the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he was with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een, but then he got up to deliver a khutbah. He got up to deliver a lecture, a khutbah. And when he was climbing the pulpit, the minbar, he took three steps. And on each step, he said, Ameen. He said, Ameen. One step, he said, Ameen. Second step, he said, Ameen. Third step, he said, Ameen. After the khutbah was finished, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een, they went to him and they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him, that, O Prophet Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today you did such a thing which you don't do normally. Normally when you're climbing the pulpit, you're not saying Ameen at each step. Right? You're not saying Ameen at each step. But today when you got up and you climbed the minbar, you said Ameen. Why was this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when I was climbing the pulpit, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he came to me and he made three du'as against three different types of people. At each dua, I said Ameen. So he made a dua against a type of person, and I said Ameen. Another dua, I said Ameen. Third dua, I said Ameen. And one of those duas were regarding the month of Ramadan. And what was the dua of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam? بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. That may there be destruction for that person who has the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the month of Ramadan as an opportunity. وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. But he does not get himself forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has given him such a great opportunity, but he is heedless, he is careless. And he does not get himself forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does this, once again, he is not fulfilling the purpose of the month of Ramadan. He does not attain the purpose of the month of Ramadan. So what happens to that person? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, he makes dua, destruction be to that person. We don't need that person anymore. That person is worthless. Right? If he can't even do that much, we're in the month of Ramadan, he cannot even have his hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open up his hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. If a person can't even do that much, destruction be to that person. And this dua was made by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ameen was said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. It was definitely accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happens. These are the consequences of what? When you do something, but you don't attain its purpose. When you have the month of Ramadan, we are fasting, we are standing in prayer, but we do not attain the purpose of the month of Ramadan, which is taqwa. Which is attaining the quality of taqwa. By the end of the month of Ramadan, it is very near. And even moving forward, if the month of Ramadan hasn't taught you anything, you know you haven't fulfilled this purpose. If after the month of Ramadan, you were the same person you were before the month of Ramadan, you know you've messed up for sure. You haven't attained the purpose of the month of Ramadan. You've wasted the month of Ramadan if you are the same person after the month of Ramadan, the person you were before the month of Ramadan. Right? So it's very important for us that we take advantage of this very huge opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the month of Ramadan. And when we fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we attain the quality of taqwa. When we stand up in prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we attain the quality of taqwa. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, we attain the quality of taqwa. The entire month of Ramadan surrounds and it's regarding the quality of taqwa. So we should come out of this month with the quality of taqwa. We should come out of this month as muttaqeen, as people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as people who know and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching them. And as a result, they don't do things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they only do things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the purpose of the month of Ramadan. Right? This is what we need to gain. This is what is important. This is what we should be striving for. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never make us from those people who are unable to do this, who are unable to attain the purpose of the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those fortunate individuals who attain the purpose of the month of Ramadan, who when Ramadan leaves, they are muttaqeen and they are God-fearing. And they become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the month of Ramadan leaves, they are not the same people who they were before the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally make us from those fortunate individuals who in the month of Ramadan, they are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen wa akhudu'una alhamdulillahi wa bil'alameen.